Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You sell that to anyone, including me. I decided that rather than this be like a business conversation, I'm in the business of human emotion. I would so much rather lead heart first in something like this, because for me, this is not, oh, I want to own this asset because of its returns, because if it's, you know, because of the dividends that I will receive over the years. I want it because this is my handwritten diary entries from my whole life. These are the songs I wrote about every phase of my life. This is my photography, my music videos, most of which I funded, you know, my artwork, everything that I've ever done is in this catalog.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was the ultimate artist when it comes to the biggest gangster in the industry, because we already know when it comes to the charts, objectively speaking, Taylor Swift currently has not one, not two, but 3 albums in the top 50. So with that being said, obviously we already know that when it comes to Taylor Swift, she's one of the more successful artists we've ever seen in the history of music. I mean, talking about being a top artist objectively at the Billboard Awards show, which, you know, gauges consumption amongst artists when it comes to albums and singles, Taylor Swift was named top artist 4 times in a row, right? Well, actually, I don't know if it was 4 times in a row, but she won it 4 times, which is a record. And ultimately, when it came to the Tortured Poets Department, which was her last album, it was on Billboard 200, and not only on Billboard 200, it was topping the charts. So it was the most played project for about 17 weeks. And then, of course, it was the decades, not 1, 2, 3 years. It was the decades' biggest debut for any album. Safe to say that Taylor Swift is also one of the most awarded artist, because I always say just because you sell a lot does not mean you make high quality. But when it comes to Taylor Swift, I feel like the two correlate, but it does not always correlate. Sometimes people think that just because something doesn't sell a lot doesn't mean it's high quality. So anyways, with that being said, the main reason why we're getting into Taylor Swift again is because I did already talk about Taylor Swift as far as her album title, The Life of a Showgirl. And that was about 2 days ago when I reviewed that as far as her releasing the title and ultimately when she was going to expound upon that. And it happened on the Travis and Jason Kelce's podcast, New Heights. So with that being said, I would highly recommend you check out that entire interview. When I tell you that, there's an art to understanding certain creatives' mental pattern as far as how they affect the masses, because ultimately they've did it and done it at the highest level. As far as Taylor Swift, as far as other artists coming out to talk about their certain musical creations, there's not a lot more more, there's not a lot of artists that's more qualified to talk about the music creation process than Taylor Swift, in my opinion. So anyways, that being said, Taylor Swift reclaimed the ownership of her first six albums, and you're probably saying to yourself, now why in the world would Shamrock give the rights back to Taylor Swift? Well, I'm glad you asked. Taylor Swift had this interesting clause in her contract because every artist would just do what Taylor did if they was allowed to, right? Somehow, Taylor Swift had an actual clause in her contract to where the re-recordings only lasted until 2020. And it was interestingly enough because as far as not being able to re-record her songs for a certain time period, you would think it'd be, oh, it expires in 2080. It expires in 2090. No, ladies and gentlemen, it expired around COVID. So that being said, then she was legally free to make new recordings of her songs because she now owns the composition rights. And you're probably thinking to yourself, why does this even matter? Well, when it comes to the original music that she was re-recording, the evaluation of it lowered. So now, if she's putting out a re-recorded album, the original music is not as lucrative because now there's another version and a more polished version, some would say, and the numbers would say, like I just said, as far as not only the Torture Pose Department, because that was a whole new album, but as far as because she went from the Torture Pose Department and then before that was when she was re-releasing albums. So ultimately, looking at this, when she put it out, a lot of her re-recordings lowered in value. So now Shamrock is looking at Taylor Swift still wanting her masters, and they're thinking to themselves, well, you already lowered the value re-recording your own music, and ultimately you're trying to pay us the same that we paid for your first six albums before you even re-recorded and lowered the value. So ultimately they could have came off an increase. I would assume they did, as far as Taylor Swift paying them an estimate of around $360 million, which is insane, right? So that's why you should always read your contract. That's why it always helps you out as far as the U.S. Copyright Act that allowed Taylor Swift to be able to create new sound recordings independently, even if they imitate the original recording. So sometimes you need that clause in your contract. And if they have something of a re-recording clause that makes you not be able to do it, try to make sure it's not like 2080 or 2090 or the year 3000, right? Try to make it to a point where maybe at some point, if you have to go the route that Taylor Swift did, then it's a plausible route, because that is very interesting how not only did she re-record her music, but her fan base was so strong that even though when she put it out, it was still competing at the level and even surpassing what the original projects did. A very interesting situation when it comes to Taylor Swift and the process of how she ultimately devalued her original recordings by re-recording it. Because that's not always going to work. One, there's a re-recording clause. Two, your audience may not care because they already heard the older version. You know how fans are always fickle. They'll say, oh, I haven't met one fan of music that said that an artist's current music is better than the old, right? Artists' old music is always perceived as better than what they're currently making, and that's just how it's been for the foreseeable future. So when you look at that, Taylor Swift did a lot of things.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is very much an outlier as far as laying the blueprint to how to devalue certain old recordings to maybe purchase it as far as the masters in the future. So when it comes to this, Taylor Swift paid about $360 million to own her first six albums. The reason why I'm explaining it like this is because Taylor Swift, you know, bless her heart. But the way she explained it, I don't think she realized that she's the biggest musician in the world, because she was basically saying she had her mom and brother, I believe, negotiate the deal on her behalf. I don't know if she thinks like her fans were born yesterday, but ultimately nobody's believing that. There was a lot more that went into it instead of her mom and brother showing up. Like, yeah, that helps her be more human, I guess, as far as the millions that she's accumulated through music. People can look at her and be like, oh, that's so relatable, right? Sending her mom and brother to negotiate. But ultimately, Taylor Swift did all the negotiation through the re-recording process, through having her fan base support her album. Like, if her re-recording albums did not sell as well or even exceed the sales of the past albums, they would have never even entertained that discussion. So that's why I broke it down like that, because I wanted y'all to know the real reason Shamrock gave her back, gave Taylor Swift back her recordings. So anyways, with that being said, there's something else I was wanting to get into. I think it was it the partnership? We already talked about that. So the podcast. Yeah, so Taylor Swift was on a podcast. She talked about the album being 12 tracks long. And yes, it's probably news to some who haven't seen the interview. She literally laid out every single track, which was very interesting. I thought she was just going to say the title and then on to the next news, right? they kept saying in the podcast, new news, a new news. I was like, hold on now. What type of segment is that? So anyways, with that being said, The Life of a Showgirl has 12 tracks. And ultimately, when it comes to those 12 tracks, she listed out every single one. So track one is the Fate of Ophelia. Track two is Elizabeth Taylor. Track three is Open Light. Track four is Father Figure. Track five is Eldest Daughter. Track six is Ruin the Friendship. Track seven is Actually Romantic. It's like actually titled. Like, it's, all right, y'all get the point.
You guys, see, that's the problem.
My fault. I thought I had to explain it. I don't even know where I was at. Track 8 is Wishlist. Track 9 is Wood. Track 10 is Canceled with an exclamation point. Track 11 is Honey. And then track 10, of course, who is that? Sabrina Carpenter. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the final track off of this album that is track 12 has the one and only Sabrina Carpenter on it. And as far as how that happened, she didn't really explain on the podcast, but we can assume, right? Because when it comes to Sabrina Carpenter, who's currently 26, Taylor Swift is like a huge icon to her, which she should be, right? In the same lane, in the same genre, looking at the most popular, most successful artist in your genre, obviously you'll look up to that person and admire what they did. So Carpenter definitely admired Taylor Swift's career, more specifically The Picture to Burn in 2009. She opened up for Taylor Swift in 2023 as far as the Eras Tour in North America, and then of course she had a surprise stage collaboration in 2024, which was a mashup performance in New Orleans. And then Carpenter's own album Man's Best Friend comes out August 29th. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to this cross promotion, as far as Taylor Swift being on her boyfriend's podcast, when it comes to her having collaborations with Sabrina Carpenter, she definitely knows who to align herself with as far as maneuvering throughout the music industry. And maybe, just maybe, it has a correlation to how and why she's the most successful artist that we've seen in quite some time. So anyways, with all the glazing set to the side, you already know that when it comes to this album, we are going to break this down like a kilo of Miley Cyrus. Because when it comes to the ultimate coverage, you know, usually I try not to talk about the podcast too much, but let's just say y'all have been beyond supportive as far as my latest coverage of her announcing her album, The Life of a Showgirl, to the point where y'all been dropping bombs all over the place as far as analytics concerned on every single platform. So I really appreciate that. I've always covered Taylor Swift since the beginning of the podcast. Hopefully, I showed this at, on that specific segment, but let me show it again for this one. So obviously, as you can see right here, I'm a pretty big Taylor Swift fan. As far as the podcast, it even makes more sense to put her on a cover. Analytic Dreams video on Spotify to see the video along with the audio. I'm currently showing my podcast banner. So she's on there for a reason. There's a lot of hip-hop artists, because primarily that is where my interest lies and my passion lies. But covering the entire music industry, there's Bad Bunny in the top right, which she talked about in a podcast. Taylor Swift definitely knows who to align herself with which, you know, I got some funny texts from my friends as far as the previous covers. And they were saying I was finding the most eloquent way to call her a promiscuous woman. But, you know, when I say Kardashian-esque, that's not always a bad thing. You know what I mean? Some people just know how to use certain things to get to certain places. And ultimately, if it's legal, then don't hate the player. You gotta hate the game.
You guys, see, that's the problem.
So Taylor Swift definitely knows how to maneuver throughout the game. But with that being said, we've covered Taylor Swift so much throughout this podcast. So to see that blow up is not surprising. But ultimately, I am very grateful for any and everybody that takes the time out of their day or night to listen to the podcast Notorious Mass Effect. So that's essentially it. I think I covered everything I was wanting to cover. Yeah, that was basically it. I don't want to make it long and drawn out. I wanted to let you know exactly why she went on that podcast, was to announce her album and the details and things of that nature. Did I say the release date? I don't know if I did. So as far as the album is coming out in October. I do know that, but I'm trying to figure out what specifically is on here. I'm literally looking at it. My fault. It releases October 3rd, 2025. So, with that being said, I think the main thing you should know is that Taylor Swift is ultimately one of the greatest artists we've ever seen, and she's putting out new music, and that should excite anyone that's actually a fan of the music industry. So with that being said, click my link tree in my bio. Let me know on one of my social medias. What do you think about Taylor Swift dropping not only the title of her album, but also that Sabrina Carpenter's on the last track, the how many tracks is on the album? Like, she gave so much info. What info from Taylor Swift stood out to you the most on the new Heist podcast Taylor Swift interview?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.